This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's time now for Market Watch. And we have on the line with us Gary Lim, Regional Fund Manager at Apex Investment.
Good morning, Gary. So Indonesia is working very hard on its tax amnesty initiative, but collection seems to be falling short. Will this leave the massive planned infrastructure projects in the lurch?
Thank you. I guess the Indonesian government initially was overly optimistic, and unfortunately, I think in the process set up an unrealistic target to which she'll always be held up to. But to put it in perspective, this 165 trillion Indonesian rupiah target would have equated to 1.3% of GDP. And the most successful program ever implemented was by Chile, and that was only 0.62%. So to measure success, I think based on an unreasonable high target is in itself unreasonable. As of last week, I think the number stands at 22 trillion Indonesian rupiah. So that's close to about 0.2% of GDP, which is in line with most other programs and with a number of corporates and high net worth having announced their intention to participate and have not declared yet. I think the 50 to 60 trillion Indonesian rupiah target set by the new finance minister as well as the central bank doesn't look as tough a target after all. And if that is the case, then it would be the second most successful tax amnesty program after Chile. So anything better than that is certainly a sentiment booster. So in a sense, I think it depends on where expectations are. I don't think market was looking at a high number anyway.
So give us an idea of how this will be funded. Announced plans for infrastructure projects around over $400 billion. I suppose this would be a kind of public-private partnership. Are you looking at the ability of Indonesian corporates to fund this kind of projects?
If you look at the Indonesian infrastructure spend, I think that has largely been financed by the government. The top three contractors in the country are all government-owned. So I think with the new finance minister coming in, I think it's time for the private sector to step up. So I think the corporation needs to come from the private sector going forward.
And also all this money that's being returned to Singapore, to Indonesia from Singapore, will have some Indonesian rupiah strengthening effects. Will this be good for the economy?
I think it is always good for economy that is capital deficient. And that's why historically the Indonesian rupiah has been one of Asia's most volatile currency. You look at the currency before the taper tantrum in 2013, the Indonesian rupiah was at 10,000 to the US dollar. When our price collapsed in end 2014, it was 12,000. At the peak of the 2015 renminbi crisis, it went to 14,000. Now it is at 13,000. And I think that it is slightly undervalued considering the economic momentum and improvement we have seen in the economy. So I think that the central bank has been trying to sterilize the inflow, keeping the currency at bay for the time being. So it is a very competitive currency. It's coming from an undervalued position. And I think for an improving economy, it is good to have a slight strengthening bias. And who's to say that 12,000 is not a reasonable target? And if that's so, that's an 8% appreciation from the current level.
How do Indonesian valuations look like at this point in time? And what stocks are you looking at to play the Indonesian market?
Consensus has, I think, the Indonesian market trading at 16 times 12-month forward PER. I think that's a tad above the 5-year historical 14 times. But I think a few things to note here. I think the index is skewed by the expensive valuations of a few large-cap stocks. Unilever Indonesia, for example, is 52 times 12-month forward consensus. Sampona is 40 times. And even Telkom is at 15 times EV/EBITDA. And that's by far the most expensive telco stock in the Asia region. So I think we are only starting to see the bottoming out of the Indonesian GDP only from second quarter of 2016. Tax amnesty effect has yet to kick in. So I think that analysts are likely to be behind the curve in upgrading their earnings until they see the numbers coming in. So the equity market will try to discount ahead of the turn, and I don't think that it is expensive at this point before earnings catch up. I think to participate in the Indonesian economic story, I think we need to go into the mid-small cap stocks and steer clear of the expensive large cap stocks. I think the beneficiaries were those that were benefit from the improving domestic liquidity, monetary easing, and the tax amnesty. So the sectors I'm looking at are financials, real estate, and consumer discretionary.
Thank you so much. And that was Gary Lim, Regional Fund Manager at Apex Investment.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This year, I will chew 117 number 2 pencils.
I will doodle 9 Staples notebooks to death.
When it comes to school supplies, it's guaranteed your kids will go through a lot.
I'll make a whole lot of paper airplanes.
I will lose my backpack.
That's why you get guaranteed savings for back to school at Staples.
I'll give away my last pen to Nathan in math class.
Get guaranteed savings at Staples, and right now, one subject notebooks for just a penny with a $5 purchase. Staples, that was easy. Valid on select SKUs while supplies last. Limit 6, ends 8/25/12.